In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. A polemic against wisdom is a tricky thing at a seminary, because your professors do want you to learn the material. And the last thing I want is for you to leave chapel saying, "I'm glad I'm a Lutheran, because I can be stupid." And yet here it is. Jews seek for signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. What is this wisdom of the world that sees the message of the cross as foolishness? How does this wisdom of the world relate to an academically rigorous curriculum? Does the course of studies at a seminary prepare you to be pastors? Or does it just make you a fool in God's eyes? There are two kinds of worldly wisdom that I'd like to discuss. One is crass, and the other is more subtle. The crass version is the kind of wisdom that shows up in the factionalism in 1 Corinthians that plays out throughout the entire book. I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I speak in tongues and I'm better than you. Well, I can eat food sacrificed to idols, no matter what the consciences of my weak brethren might think. This is the wisdom that says, assert your rights. It is the wisdom that says, my knowledge makes me better than other people. Now, the interesting thing in 1 Corinthians is that Paul doesn't actually question, for the most part, whether their answers are right. After all, an idol is nothing. And so it is possible to eat food sacrificed to idols without blaspheming against God. The question is not, are the answers right? The question is, what are you doing with them? Worldly wisdom says your right answers make you better, better than other people. Now, of course, you know as well as I do that at any academic institution, that is an ever-present temptation. We issue grades, and so if you're so minded, you could compare yourself with other people. And it's really easy to look down on the people that have the wrong answers, like those poor, benighted evangelicals who believe in decision theology. Again, as in the issue of 1 Corinthians, the question isn't whether we're right, because we are right on the issue of decision theology. The question is, how do we use the right answers? And worldly wisdom tells us you use them to make yourself better than other people. Now, as I said before, this is a crass form of worldly wisdom. There's a more subtle and, I believe, a much more dangerous form of it. And here I'm going to take a cue from St. Augustine, who in the City of God comments that the highest that human reason has to offer is the philosophy of Plato. And I think we can gain a sense for the spirit of Platonism if we look at Socrates' dialogue right before he dies. This is in Plato's work, The Phaedo. And Socrates is trying to comfort his disciples in the face of his impending execution. And the way he offers them comfort is he engages them in a philosophical discourse about the immortality of the soul. And at one point in the discourse, Socrates makes the comment that philosophy is the practice of death. Now, what does that mean? Well, as I'm sure you are familiar with, in Platonism, the material world is not dependable. Everything's in flux. The only constancy in the universe is to be found in the spiritual world. Now, that may sound like a mere cosmological claim, a mere intellectual doctrine, but in fact, it has an emotional punch to it, especially for people who are suffering loss in their lives, as the disciples of Socrates were about to suffer. If you've lost someone you love, if you are ill, if your hopes and dreams are unfulfilled because of bad fortune, then Platonism would tell you that the answers are to be found in understanding the structure of the universe. Once you understand that the material world will always disappoint you, then you are in a position to attain happiness, because only then can you focus your contemplation, or we might say your love, on the unchanging spiritual world. And this, Socrates says, is what philosophy is really all about. It's kind of like death. Because according to Socrates, what happens when you die is that your soul is freed from the prison of your body. And this is what the philosopher is after all of his life anyway. He wants to free his mind from these encumbering and disappointing material attachments. So understanding the nature of the universe in Platonism is not just head knowledge. It helps you deal with your pain. Now, if I just rephrase this a little bit, it may easily slip by as an example of Christian piety. And that would sound like this. God is the only one you can really count on. The world will fail you. And so what we want you to do at the seminary, in the midst of whatever loss you are experiencing in your life, is to enter more deeply into the study of God's Word, because there you find His principles for living. And there you will find the fulfillment and have the kind of life that God wants you to have. What I just told you was worldly wisdom. Because if you think this way, then the message of the cross is foolishness to you. This is the wisdom that says, if you can just figure out how things work, then you can gain a measure of control over your own destiny, and perhaps even attain happiness. It doesn't matter whether this wisdom is gained through cosmological speculation or through pronouncements on the nature of God. The bottom line is, it gives you control. Only in the subtle form, it's not control over other people like it is in the crass form. It's control over your own destiny, or perhaps even control over God. That's why the message of the cross is foolishness. I mean, even the way Saint Paul puts it, it's kind of hard to understand. What sense does it make to define a person as wisdom? Wisdom ought to be knowledge, but a person? Saint Paul is making what I would describe as a brilliant category mistake, if I may put it that way. Because you can master and apply principles of the universe or principles of living, but you cannot master and apply a person, especially a crucified one. And that's the point. God is saying, you can't have control, but I give you a savior. Your life has shame in it because of all the shameful thoughts and actions that you've committed. You experience indignity and you will finally experience death. My promise to you is not that these things are really good. My promise is that I've given my son to die for you. That all of your shame is taken upon him. And further, that what is sown in dishonor will be raised in glory. Godly wisdom has a way of dealing with grief and disappointment too, but it's not by trying to distract yourself, by comforting yourself that you're better than other people. It's not by doing an intellectual adjustment of mindset. It's by simply enduring the pain and the loss with the promise that what is sown in dishonor will be raised in glory. The foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.